Amen. If you'd like to take a seat now, I'd actually just like to share a testimony. Take a seat. But the testimony is this, church. I woke up this morning and I'd heard Tony sort of making a bit of noise during the night, snuffling and coughing. I didn't think much about it, got up, came down to church, and then I don't normally check my phone in the morning, but for some reason I was prompted to, the Spirit, and he said, "Hun, I'm sick, I've lost my voice, I won't be able to speak this morning." And I know he'd contacted a number of you about sharing some things during the service. He said, "Don't worry, Cam's amazing, he said that he'll sort something out." So I'm like, sweet, this is good, we'll just keep going. And then Cam arrived, and he had actually, and I'm sure Russell won't mind, asked Russell to speak, so Russell graciously said, "Yep, that's absolutely fine." Michael was rostered on the words this morning, and he came in, and he said, "Cam, when I got up this morning, the Lord put on my heart to write a sermon about Pentecost." Michael had no idea what was going on, but the Lord knew. And so we just want to invite Michael up now, who's going to bring the message that the Lord has put on his heart this morning. So, Father God, we pray for Michael as he comes now. We thank you, Lord, that you move in ways that we don't know and often don't even see, Lord, but we know that you are in control. And we thank you, Lord, that you put this on Michael's heart this morning, that he was obedient to your voice and that he prepared this, Lord, for today, for such a time as this, for such a time as today. And we ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak through him to each one of us for what it is that you would want to say to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, Michael.
Hello, can you hear me? Yeah. Yeah, it was a bit funny this morning. Woke up and I'm going, "Oh, I should do a sermon." So I quickly jumped out and, yeah, so this is a very short prep sermon. So there you go. Who knows? Yeah, so it is actually Pentecost, which is in Hebrew, sorry for Hebrew speaking people, Shavuot, if I've butchered it. And can we go, next slide please. So a little bit about the history is that there were Moedim, we call them feasts. They're more correctly appointed times, where a feast sounds more like a celebration, a party. Well, they're that, but it's appointed time that the Hebrews were to meet with God. They were set apart special times, and quickly going through them, Passover, which Messiah was crucified on, Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Messiah raised, and Feast of Weeks. So Pentecost is a Greek word, comes from the Greek word which is 50 thereof. Shavuot actually means weeks. There are other Moedim, which we won't go into. Could we go next slide, please? Yeah, so I'm not even going to have a go at that. I'll butcher the Greek too. But it literally means 50th. The Hebrew word to count 50 days after first fruits. A festival to celebrate the first of the barley harvest. This is when Jesus rose from the dead. So the Holy Spirit was given at Pentecost. And can we go next slide, please? Right. It is tradition, it's not in scripture, but it's tradition that the law was given at Mount Sinai on Pentecost. So if you are a religious Jew, you would read the book of Ruth. We won't go into details about that, but that's what you normally do. But it is tradition is how the law was given at what we would call Pentecost or Shavuot. And there is reasonable ground for that. If you do the Mass, it is reasonable, but just to make sure that it's a rabbinical understanding, it's not something that we've taken straight from Scripture. But if you do the Mass when they went through the desert, it stands to reason. But what I'm wanting to do is I'm wanting to compare the giving of the law to the giving of the Spirit. Now, before I go any further, some people think the law is bad and the Spirit's good. No, the law is perfect, it's good. But what it does is it shows us our inability to meet the standard. So the law in itself isn't evil. It's not, it's good, it's perfect, it's the Word of God. But sometimes, Christians, we sometimes go, law's bad, Spirit's good. No, the law is perfect. It's the word of God. It's perfect. So we're going to have a quick look. So the law was given at Mount Sinai, and it was the birth of a nation. It was the birth of Israel as a nation. And if we read, we'll read Acts 2, which is the typical passage we'd read. Oh, before we go any further, so the other thing is with these Moedim, there were, I believe, three of them, which Pentecost is one, that good Jewish men should be at Jerusalem. That was one of them. You should be there. You were meant to be there. So further on, as we'll go into Acts, we'll find that there were a lot of Jewish people there. Predominantly, the Jewish men had to go there. So verse 1, chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devoted men from every nation under heaven. And they were... When this sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused, because each of them heard, speaking in his own language. They were all amazed and marvelled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galilean? And how is it that we hear them each in our own language, in which we are born? Parthian, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Perugia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoined to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jew and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them speaking in our own tongue, the wonders of God." So they were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What could this mean?" So what happened was, later on, there's a guy called Peter that was a very, like Peter, he puts his foot in his mouth, but like me, he's good. But they all ran scared, the disciples ran scared, but after this happened, further on in this chapter, he gets up and preaches the best sermon that's even been preached next to what Jesus has been preached. And after that, 3,000 people become born again. And if you'll see, we can go through. Can you put up Exodus 18, please? 31:18. And when he had made an end of speaking with him on Mount Sinai, he gave Moses two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So can you go back to the previous one, please? So the law's given at Sinai, and then it is... And it's written on stone. Yet when it happened, when the Holy Spirit was given, the law is put on human hearts. Jeremiah 31:33. The point, I suppose, I want to start to share is that you can have a set of rules here that are written on stone, even by the finger of God. These were written by the finger of God. The Israelites knew that it was written by the finger of God. Unless the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells a person, you can't fulfill those laws. And I think it was quite appropriate, the last song, "Spirit of the Living God, full refresh on us." That's, without the Holy Spirit, we're doomed. I'm trying to think of the best word. We're doomed. We can't do it. On the giving of the law, 3,000 people died. What happened was Moses was up the hill, and they decided they had enough of this, so they're going to build a calf. And when Moses came down, he told the Levites, gird up your armour, put your sheaths on, and they killed. So the giving of the law, 3,000 die, yet comparing to the giving of the Holy Spirit, 3,000 are saved. I don't think that is coincidence. I think that's God's fingerprint all over the 3,000. Next slide, please. Yeah. So this is an interesting story about the Tower of Babel. We know the Tower of Babel. Now, the whole earth had one language, one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. Then they had baked bricks of stone, and they made asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the earth. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one and they have one language, and this is what they have begun to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their language, that they may not understand one another. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they ceased to build the city. Therefore it is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the earth. Why am I bringing this up? Some people read the scripture as a cursing of God. It's not a cursing of God, it's a blessing of God. So what happens is, it's the Lord God saw if they carried on doing what they're doing, that he would have to bring punishment on mankind again. This is a blessing, this isn't a cursing. This is God saving mankind from another judgment. Yet, when we look at the parallel in the giving of the Holy Spirit, there's almost a reversal of the confusion that these people come from all around, and the Holy Spirit comes, and they hear them in their native language, and they say, hey, what's the go? And as it is in Acts, we know our scripture that a lot of them said, what's going on here? We want to know what's... There are some that said, hey, look, these guys are drunk. You know, they've been drinking too much. So with things of the Holy Spirit, there are going to be some that will say, hey, what's going on? We want to know. And there will be others that... Yeah. Can I go next slide, please? Cool. Rightio. I suppose where I'm heading with all this is that the giving of the Holy Spirit is a blessing from God. The giving of the law was a blessing from God. But you can't achieve your intimate fellowship with God by that of words. You know, I love that, but you need the Holy Spirit. I want to finish on a point on that there, that I think is quite important. Well, at least to me, I think with the giving of the Holy Spirit, sooner or later we'll end up talking about that there are spiritual gifts. And with spiritual gifts, I don't believe that I've been given a gift or you've been given a gift. They've been given them to Beckenham Baptist. It just happens to be a certain gift is given through me. And our generation now is very much me, 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 rather than us or them. And I think that what we should do, we should desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be of service to Jesus, to be of service to each other, in whatever manner he gives us. Like I say, I woke up this morning, this was 10 to 8, I woke up and I was in the bath and I jumped out, I typed that. So I was just wanting to compare the giving of the law and the giving of the Spirit. 3,000 dead, 3,000 live. The burden, the freedom. So it's a shorter sermon.
Just before you close, Michael, we haven't talked. We're just going with what the Spirit's saying today, and Michael's going to make an invitation. But I felt quite strongly that Tony asked some of you to share an experience that you've had with the Holy Spirit. Tricia has shared this morning. Is anybody feeling strongly that they should come and share that this morning, just before Michael makes an invitation? Yep, Sarah, come up.
Yeah, this isn't easy. I grew up in a Pentecostal church, and this is, you know, my view that I came to, and I became very jaded against the things of the Holy Spirit because I saw lots of people using them in ways that perhaps they shouldn't have been done. And in particular, for me, there was a huge amount of pressure in the youth group that I was in to attain spiritual levels. Like, you were someone if you got baptized, or you were someone if you got baptized in the Holy Spirit and then spoke in tongues. And there was a huge pressure on. And so I became very, very jaded. And another one of the things that I saw was being slain in the Spirit. And I saw so many people just pushed over. And I saw, for me, this is what I saw, that it became a regular thing, that you came and got your fix on Sunday. And that often your life didn't live it out during the week. And so at that stage I said, God, this is never going to happen to me. I won't allow this to happen. I just don't like what's happening there. And fast forward many years, I went to a healing meeting with some friends. And I was a bit jaded about healing meetings as well and people prancing up and down. But this man was a true man of God. And what he preached on was, would you do anything for God? Would you do anything for God? And God put it on my heart, would you go out and be slain in the Spirit? And of course you sit there and you argue against it. And I, in the end, I said, yes, Lord, I'll do that for you. I went forward, and I wasn't from here to Alan and flat on the floor. Just absolutely gone. And I was gone for, what, about 30 minutes? Yeah. Oh, you weren't there yet. Yeah. And a friend of mine that was there said, I saw two demonic presences leave you. And that was the start of my healing from my mental illness. And it was in obedience to God that I did it, you know? And it was real. And it's happened to me again in this church. I came along, there was a man that was talking on revival. I didn't like most of what he was saying. But I felt very impressed that God had something new for me. And so I went forth for prayer. And just, I wasn't even where, you know, he just put his hand up and I was out. And I, you know, I had been saying, God, how can I, you know, be used while I'm feeling in this deep depression? And I came to, and I didn't feel anything, but I knew that God's anointing had come on me in that time for what he had for me in the future. And so I threw the baby out with the bathwater, but God's shown me that he can work through those things when we are obedient to him to move in what he asks.
Thank you, Shin.
I wasn't asked to speak. I didn't put my hand up to speak, but I did put my hand up to do something for Tony. And because Tony's not here, I was just going to not do anything about it. But as Sandra was talking, I thought, no, do it. So when the Holy Spirit comes upon us and he gives us giftings, it is a wonderful and beautiful thing. And sometimes those giftings will be complete on their own, like you're speaking in tongues, prayer language. And other times they will be gifts that need to be used in conjunction alongside other people's gifts. So I'm just going to walk around the room while the people are talking now, and I'm going to hand out some stuff. And you can all compare your stuff at the end of the speaking and see whether you receive something that can be just used on its own or whether you have to work in conjunction with something, with somebody else, because it's a great thing when we are all gifted differently and when we bring those gifts and use them jointly.
Thanks, Leanne. Did anybody else have a testimony? Come on up, Kim.
Yes, my testimony is from when I was in America, and it was my first summer at camp, and at the last night of orientation, there was a big worship night where all the counselors were there, over about 600, and there was about 60 of us internationals. Now, a lot of the internationals weren't Christian. All the Americans, they probably all claimed to be Christian. I wouldn't say a lot of them were born again, but I know for a good lot of the internationals, they weren't born again, and they'd never even been to a church event before. And I'd gotten quite close with this one boy from Scotland called Jack, and he was in my cabin, and I'd had a few conversations with him over the 2 weeks of orientation. And when we were at the worship night, I was in the middle of the crowd, and I can't remember what song we were singing, but all I could hear in my head was his name over and over again, just Jack, 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 Jack. And I couldn't get out of my head while worshiping. And I felt straight away this was a prompting by the Spirit that I need to go talk to him and have a serious conversation with him about where he stands with God. So for about 5 minutes, I was disobedient. I don't want to go do it. And then eventually I'm like, no, I need to go find him. And so I run out of the crowd and I go and find some permanent staff I thought would know where he is. And they say, he's just gone up the hill off the bed. You better go get him quick. So I sprint up the hill and he's just at the top and I get to him and I'm like, Jack, I need to tell you the gospel. I need to share with you about what Jesus has done for you. And I was able to share with him the good news and lead him for a prayer right then. And he gave his heart for the Lord then. And I'm still in contact with this man. He's now 22 and he's a youth leader at his church in Scotland. And it took the Holy Spirit just to say his name and put it on my heart. And I was able to preach the gospel with him. And so I was blown away by that. And it took me to be obedient to that. It took me to step out in faith and trust God, but I was just blown away by his power to be able to speak into me in that moment. So praise God.
Thanks, Ken.
Morning, church. Regarding the leading of the Holy Spirit, I recall in the year before the lockdown, 2020, in January, I supposed to go to Singapore to, there's a Chinese New Year. It's a big event. It's just like Christmas, you know, in New Zealand. So everything was planned up. I supposed to go to Turkey to do a mission, mission work. And then after that, the timing fixed very nicely. And then after that, I come back to Singapore and then have some Chinese New Year time with a relative. I was about to... I have not booked the ticket to Turkey yet or to Singapore. And I was just walking out of... I was walking like this and suddenly something pushed me this way. He said, go to Israel. Yeah, so I knew it's the Holy Spirit. I said, but then I will miss my Chinese New Year, you know, with my relative. So, struggle. Then I say, okay, God, I obey you. You know, so I booked my ticket to Israel for mission work, 2.5 weeks. And then, anyway, so I say, okay, I do it for you. I miss my Chinese New Year with my relative in Singapore. So, but when I recall back, because of the leading of the Holy Spirit, during this mission trip, something really big happened. This is the first time that at the West Bank, at this Nablus. Nablus is Sichem. In the olden Bible town is Sichem. Is where you can see Joseph's tombs are there. And they are, so when we go to reach out to the village, to villagers, what we do is we are given, three of us or four of us are, we have a backpack of 7 kg, and then we have a lot of Arabic tracks. And then we go to from villagers to villagers in the West Bank. Some of them are quite dangerous, those villages. But anyway, so normally the Palestinians, they are very hospitable people. So one of our techniques to invade, to reach out to them is that we just say, can we borrow the toilet? Can we use your toilet? They will say, sure. They are very hospitable. They invite you there, and when you come out of the toilet, they have high tea for you. Yeah, so, and then after that, they will talk to us. They, what are you going to do? Where are you going to stay? Have you had your dinner? We say, no. We say, come and eat with us. Where are we going to stay? You say, we don't know. He say, sleep with us. You know, stay with us. If they do not have a place to offer, they will call their relative. They are very close community. And then you sleep. But during this trip, somehow or other, nobody invite us. So I was quite upset because I know that, you know, definitely someone will invite us. But so because of that, we went to a motel. In Palestine, is very cheap, the motel. So we are given a little budget that if we cannot, no one invite us, we go to the motel. But in Israel, we go from villages to villages. If no one invite us, we cannot stay in the motel because it's so expensive. You sleep in the street or in the playground or whatever. So anyway, miracles happened. We went to this motel. We met one guy. He is dumb. He can't speak, and he's mute. And we pray for him, and he can hear, and he can speak. So I wonder, you know, God's ways are very high. He wants me to go there is because to experience the power of God. Yeah, so although I missed my Chinese New Year in Singapore. And not only that, during this trip is something very spectacular that takes place. So we were at this Bethlehem, and then we take a service van to Ramallah. Ramallah is somewhere near Shiloh. You know, if you understand biblical geography, Shiloh is a place where the tabernacle was there, actually. Yeah, and also that is a place where Joshua divide and conquer. He divide and conquer. He from there they do deep planning for divide and conquer. Divide, what I meant is conquer and divide. They went into many places, conquer and then divide and share among the tribes, the 12 tribes. So in from there in the service van, it takes 7 person, then they'll move. So in the van, 4 of us, we shared 3 passengers. So we share with them the gospel, and then one by one left. Then now is a driver. He's bringing us to Nablus. Nablus is Sechem. So it's time to target him, to tell him the gospel. So the van is a 3-row, 1, 2, 3. I'm sitting at the 3rd row there. So after that, we talk to him. Do you know Jesus? You know, and he said that. He just said that I'm not Muslim. I'm not Muslim. Yeshua, you know, in their language, in Aramaic actually. So I knew that this guy have an encounter with Jesus. So I pull out an Arabic Bible from my bag, and when he saw the Bible, I've not seen people coming in to snatch the Bible. This is one person that came, he was driving and stopped his car, he stretched over and he snatched my Bible and keep on kissing the Bible. He keep on kissing the Bible. So after that, we told him, hey, stop the car, pull to the side, and then we led him to the Lord in Arabic, you know. We led him to the Lord. And so God is really amazing. So the Holy Spirit just, I was walking like this and he just pushed me this way. And I knew that he wants me to go Israel. Yeah, thank you, God.
I'm sure many more of us have got stories that we could share, but we're not going to. Thank you so much for those of you that did that.